Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, he has a few secrets to tell you.
Have you ever been with someone who prayed, or maybe you're at a prayer meeting and there's one or two people, they pray different from the rest of the crowd. Their prayer just seems to have more power to it. You say, well, what's the deal? Their prayers seem to connect more to God than my prayers. Could it be that there are some secrets to prayer that we miss out on?
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from His heart.
Have you experienced that? Where you've heard people genuinely, sincerely praying from the heart? Well, as we're about to hear today, there are some essential keys to effective prayer. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today as we move through Pastor Jeff's powerful series called Rock Your World, Unleashing the Power of Prayer. Now, this month, we've been telling you about a special booklet written by Pastor Jeff called Unveiling the Mystery of Prayer. And it's one of our thank you gifts for your support this month of any amount. And you can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org. And there, too, you can also download any of the broadcasts for free, as well as sermon outlines of each message. We hope you'll take advantage of that resource, too. But right now, let's lean in to make sure that we can hear the secrets we need to hear. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Here's Pastor Jeff to reveal prayer's biggest secrets.
What are the secrets to prayer? Well, notice with me three secrets tonight. Secret number one, prayer is to connect with God, not impress men. He said, well, gosh, we know that, do we? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we think it's about impressing men. The Pharisees were the ones he was talking about here. They loved to stand up in the synagogue and offer long prayers. Why? To be seen of men. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus said, starting all this discussion off, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. See, prayer time is not show time. And for these folks that Jesus was talking about, and the people were learning that from the religious leaders, they thought, well, prayer time is to do that, is to kind of show off and show how eloquent you are. But that's not what it is at all. Why are you praying? And what is in your heart? What do you really want to see happen? Your will or His will? Well, that's the very first secret. It's a simple secret. Prayer is to connect with God, not impress men. Secret number two, prayer is to be meaningful, not mindless. Look what he says in verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, the Lord says, listen, prayer is to be meaningful, not mindless. And repetitious praying doesn't get God's attention. Heartfelt praying gets God's attention. God likes us to pray from the heart. God is a God who is all about heart. All about heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's why man would look at the rabbi praying in the synagogue with all the flowery poetic language and go, wow. He must be so godly because listen to his prayer. And God says, yeah, all you see is the outward, but I look down into his heart and I know that his heart is rotten. He cleans the outside of the cup, but inside of the cup, it's dirty. He's like a whitewashed tomb and inside he's full of rottenness and dead men's bones. You see, God's a God of heart and God looks at the heart. And so when you pray, God looks down into your heart. That's can be a scary thing. See, you can never snow job God. He knows exactly what's there. He knows your motive and he knows what's in there. But it's a wonderful thing too, because I may not be able to pray flowery William Shakespeare poetic type prayers, But God doesn't care about any of that. He says, talk to me from your heart. I want to hear from your heart. When I was in college, I hadn't been a Christian very long. I got saved my senior year in high school, toward the end, about January, February, right around in there, my senior year in high school. And when I was at the University of Texas my freshman year, I got in this discipleship group. And there was a guy there named Everett Sheffy. He was an older guy, and he always had college freshmen in his group. Every year, he'd have a new group of college freshmen. He's been doing this for probably 35, 40 years. And the Lord has used him in a great way. Well, I was in with like six other guys. Well, I was very relatively new Christian. Well, some of the other guys in my discipleship group, they had been Christians a long time. And they had grown up in church, and they knew how to pray. And I didn't know how to pray. And you know what we would do every time on Monday nights when we'd have our discipleship meeting, and Everett would lead the group, and he'd lead us in a Bible study. And then at the end, he'd say, it was always my most uncomfortable time. He'd say, okay, now we're going to pray. And we'd go around in a circle to pray. And I would listen to these guys. They just knew how to pray a lot better than I'd be so nervous. I'd think, I can't pray. I don't know what to say. And my prayers were always be short because I was out of bullets after about 30 seconds, you know, of praying. And I remember telling Everett one day, I said, you know, I really don't like praying in this group. I said, I don't know what to say, and I'm not very good at it. All those other guys are so good at it, I'm not very good at it. And he told me, he said, Jeff, I like the way you pray. I said, you do? Why would you like the way I pray? He said, because you don't know what to say, so you pray from here. He said, God likes that. You pray from the heart. Because God's a God of heart. And God looks at the heart. And God chose David, who was a man after his own heart. You know, if you want your prayers to connect, start praying from the heart. Psalm 62, verse 8 says this, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. A prayer from the heart. You know, a prayer from the heart doesn't necessarily have to be a real long prayer. Sometimes it will be when you're pouring out your heart and you're hurting before the Lord. Hannah was one in the Old Testament who was hurting so deeply because she was barren and she couldn't have any children. And her husband's other wife kept needling her about the fact that she was barren. And she went before the Lord and she just wept and poured out her heart to the Lord. Eli the priest thought she was drunk. She said, I'm not drunk. I'm a woman who is bitter and poor in spirit, and I have just poured out my heart to the Lord. See, sometimes it might be a long time. Sometimes it might just be a short time. You're just sharing what's in there. But God likes that. Have you ever read stories or heard testimonies or something about people who pray for long periods of time? I mean, they'll pray for hours. You know, I've heard stories. I think this guy, his name was Praying Hyde, and he would pray for hours. He'd get up at 4 a.m. and he'd pray for hours, and they said his knees were like a camel's knees because he spent so much time on his knees. Well, you know, I read stories like that, and I think, wow, man, if I pray for 30 minutes, it's like a big deal, you know? I'm just being honest. You read about people, they say, well, I prayed all night. Man, I've never done that. Very few people have ever done that. When I was at a conference some years ago with Adrian Rogers, they asked him about his prayer life. And they said, how long do you pray? Pretty pointed question. You know, most people don't ask a guy like Adrian Rogers, how much time do you spend in prayer? And he said this, I really liked it. He said, I don't necessarily spend a long time in prayer, but he said, I don't spend a long time between prayer. He said he was just always talking to the Lord. And see, that's what the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We need to have times where you just get alone with God and get in your inner room, wherever that might be. It might be your bedroom, it might be your den, it might be a closet, wherever. But you have time where you just talk to the Lord out of your heart and you just share your needs with him and you intercede for other people. My friend Everett, that was my discipleship leader, he would pray every morning for about 100 people. He had pictures of people in his Bible. And he would pray and he would call that person's name. And he didn't necessarily pray a long time, but I mean, it takes a long time to just call the names of 100 people before the Lord. And he would do that. And he was a person of prayer. And you know, not everybody is going to be as good at doing that. But it doesn't need to be long, long periods of time in prayer. It just needs to be effective times in prayer. And if you do like Adrian Rogers, if you're not long between prayer and you're constantly talking to the Lord all throughout the day, God loves that. And that connects. Prayer is to be meaningful, not mindless. If you catch yourself zoning out, fading out when you're praying, then you need to stop and turn back and say, I need to really get serious. This needs to come out of the heart, because if you pray out of the heart, as Hannah did, pour it out of her heart to the Lord, your mind won't wander, because you'll pray those things that are on your heart. And it's great to, as you read the Bible, especially in the Psalms, pray those things that you read. Pray the prayers that David prayed and say, Lord, that I want that in my life too. And Lord, I need you to do a work in here. And Lord, you promised that you'll enlarge my heart. And God, would you do that for me? God answers those kinds of prayers. And then secret number three, prayer is to a loving Father, not an impersonal deity. See, he says in verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then he goes on in verse 9 to say, pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven. You and I are praying to a Father, our Father in heaven. We're not praying to someone who's impersonal, who doesn't care. See, the belief of the deist is that God created everything and set everything in motion, but then God doesn't intervene in anything. And God kind of has gone on vacation after he made it all. He wound it up and then he let it go. It's kind of the clock theory. God made the universe and he wound it up like a clock. And then he got his fishing pole and he went fishing. He just lets it run. That's not the God you're praying to. He's not impersonal. He's a loving Father. And the Lord says that that's how we're to relate to him as a father. See, God cares for you like a good father cares for his children. And I'm not a perfect father by any stretch of the imagination. And I have trouble with losing my temper with my girls and other things like that. And failing to do the right thing and saying things that discourage them rather than encourage them. And doing some things sometimes that make them mad. And, you know, the scripture says don't do that. Well, I'm imperfect. But I love them and I care for them and I want to do good for them. And I rejoice when they rejoice and I weep when they weep, and when they're hurting, I'm hurting, because I love my kids and I'm not alone in that. You guys love your kids and your grandkids and you want good things for them. Well, God is a loving Father. And sometimes if you grew up in a home where you didn't have a good father, it's hard to relate to God as Father because you didn't have a good role model for that. But God's not like the father who abuses his children or neglects his children. God is there and God is good. And God says, I care for you. And he said, Jeff, you know how much you love your kids? He said, I love your kids way more than you could ever love them. And furthermore, I love you way more than you love Jill and Amy and Sarah. And see, that really ministered to me because I know how much I love them. And to think that God loves me so much more than that, man, it's like, wow, God really does care. And God knows what I'm going through. And I can talk to God because he cares, because he's a good father. And you know, one thing about being a good father, you don't always give your kids everything they want, everything they ask for. You give them what they need, not necessarily what they want. And if you do everything for your kids as a father, you stunt their growth. If you fight every battle for them, if you step in before they have to deal with an issue or situation, if you're always bailing them out, you stunt their growth, because kids grow through dealing with a struggle and a difficulty. And see, God is a loving Father. He cares, and he knows enough to know that I'm not always going to come right when you want me to, because there are some fiery furnaces you need to go through, and there are difficulties that you need to walk through. I'll always be with you, but I'm not just going to bail you out and put you in a situation where you never have problems and you never have turmoil and you never have trouble and you never have stress, because then you can't fly. And the Lord wants us to grow. And we learn through the hard times, and we learn through the struggles, and we learn through the difficulties that God is there for us, and God is a good Father, and that prayer does make a difference, and prayer does change things. And so God says, I want you to see that I'm not impersonal, and when you call to me, I love you and I care. And if I don't answer the way you want, as that person told me, would God not just be God for 5 minutes and do what I want? God says, I have a purpose and I have a plan in that, so you just trust me. And then God wants to meet our needs, and he wants us to know that. That's in his heart, to meet our needs. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 is such a cool verse where it says we don't have to repeat prayers to God. It says because God knows what you need before you ask him. When you have a need, God already knows. He wants us to ask him, but he knows what we need before we ask him.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today's message, Prayer's Biggest Secrets Revealed. And as we've learned today, it's against the backdrop of struggles and difficulties that God teaches us how much he cares about our needs and how he wants us to pray to him. In just a moment, a very teachable illustration about God's providence in providing for his own. That means you and me. So stay tuned. Prayer, it really does change things. It really does. And the reason why is because God answers prayer. David said in the Bible, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. That's in Psalm chapter 116, verse 1. Often our prayers lack effectiveness simply because we fail to understand what prayer is all about. This month, we're offering a special booklet from Pastor Jeff entitled Unveiling the Mystery of Prayer, and it will encourage you in your prayer life by teaching you the key principles of prayer and how to put them into practice. It's our thank you gift for your support this month of any amount. And also, when you make that gift, we'll send you Pastor Jeff Shreve's series, Holy Boldness, Lessons from Elijah, the Prophet of Fire. You'll be emboldened to stand firm in your faith and have the power to be bold in your witness. Request your copy of the booklet Unveiling the Mystery of Prayer and the series Holy Boldness when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Now let's conclude today's message about unleashing the power of prayer in your life. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
I ran across this true story by a doctor who's a missionary in Africa. Her name is Helen Rosevier. And she shared about being in a clinic one night in Zaire, Africa. And she was trying to help this woman who was delivering a baby. It was a premature baby, and they did all they could, but the woman died. And the baby lived, although the baby was premature. This woman left behind this premature baby and a two-year-old girl. And the girl was crying because her mother had died, and the doctor was now concerned with the baby to keep the baby alive. And, you know, she's in a crude situation in Africa. There's not the medical situation was terrible there, and they just were operating barely with, you know, what they had there out in the woods. And she said, we had to keep this baby warm. We needed an incubator. Well, they didn't have an incubator. And she said, although we were by the equator, it got cool at night. And we knew that if this baby got too cold, this baby was going to die. And so we needed a hot water bottle. And so I told one of the assistants, go get a hot water bottle. And she went to get the hot water bottle. And when she looked for it, it had cracked. And it couldn't hold water anymore. And that was the only hot water bottle they had. And she said, oh, no. And so they tried to put the baby close to the stove to try and keep the baby warm, and they had another person that was going to block the door to try and keep the wind off the baby. And that doctor went to the orphanage that was connected to this little hospital area and talked to the children and said, we need to pray, and we need to ask God to protect this little baby. And she told about the mother dying, and she told about the two-year-old girl that was there, her older sister. And so they began to pray. And one little 10-year-old girl, her name was Ruth, she prayed. And her prayer was so bold and just had so much audacity. She said this, "Please, God, send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow. God, the baby will be dead. So please send it this afternoon." Why, I gasped inwardly, she said, at the audacity of the prayer. She added this to her prayer, "And while you're at it, God, would you please send a baby doll for the little girl so she'll know you really love her?" So she asked for two things, a water bottle for the baby and a baby doll for the two-year-old girl. Well, the missionary doctor, she didn't even know if she should say amen to that prayer, because she's thinking, I've been here 4 years, and the only way that we could ever get a water bottle, someone would have to send it from the States. And she said, in 4 years, I've never gotten anything from the States. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. You can't just go down a dirt road and all of a sudden there's the hot water bottle store. I mean, they're just not around. And so she said, amen. But she said, there's no way that's going to happen. Later that afternoon, there was a package that was sent to her house. She got a call. There's a package here for you. True story. She went and got the package, and her heart began to beat a little faster. And she thought, this is weird, getting a package from England. And so she, rather than open the package, she took the package back to the orphanage, and she, with all the kids around, said, we're going to open this package. Well, Ruth was just beaming. Hey, this is what we prayed for, package. And they opened up the package, and they began to pull out clothes for the kids and all sorts of clothes. And then the missionary reached her hand in, and she couldn't believe it. She felt a rubber substance. She pulled it out. It was a hot water bottle. Ruth clapped. Yeah, that's right. That's what we prayed for. She said, there's got to be a baby doll in here too. So she just started digging around and then pulled out a doll and handed the doll to the little two-year-old girl. And the missionary's heart just broke. Her eyes filled with tears. She said, God, I never thought you could do this. And she said, what was so amazing was the fact that that package had been shipped 5 months previous. God knows what we need before we ask him for what we need, but God answers when we ask him. There's a verse in Isaiah that says this, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God knows your needs. He knows every one of your needs, and he wants to answer if we'll pray.
It's one thing to understand that God knows your need, but quite another to truly believe that he really does want the best for you, his child. What a wonderful message today entitled, Prayer's Biggest Secrets Revealed. It's from Pastor Jeff's four-message series, Rock Your World, Unleashing the Power of Prayer. And you can get a copy of this series online at fromhisheart.org. Now, when you're on our website, you might be interested in signing up to receive Pastor Jeff's weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter. It'll be delivered to your inbox every Friday morning. And also, you can listen online to the Real Hope Minute. It's featured on our homepage. Just go to fromhisheart.org. Time is up for today. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be here tomorrow for part two of the extended lesson entitled Prayer's Biggest Secrets Revealed. Join us then when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is hope. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.